This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Overcome evil with good. Put your mind on something in your life that's positive, and you're going to have a much better life than if you focus on a lot of negative things all the time. Well, thank you for joining me today on Enjoying Everyday Life. And I believe that I have something to share with you today that literally could be a life changer for many of you. If I were to say to you, there's one thing that I can tell you that can really turn your life around, I'm sure most of you would want to hear it. And this is one of those things that I think is a very powerful thing, although it's a very simple thing. I want to talk to you today about focusing on the positive things in life. You know, the Bible says, I set before you good and evil, blessings and cursings, life and death. Choose life. Choose the good. So we all have choices to make every day. And today I want to talk to you about making a choice about what you're going to focus on. There's all kinds of positive things going on in the world and in your life, in my life, but there's also usually negative things going on in the world. And you know, right now there's probably a lot more negative things going on than what we're accustomed to, but there are still good things happening, and we need to find them and we need to focus on them. When we get together with friends for lunch or a cup of coffee, we need to find positive things to focus on and to talk about rather than just doing nothing but talking about all the problems in our lives and all the problems going on in the world. I'm not suggesting that we ignore our problems, but I am suggesting we don't focus on them. Find the good and focus on it. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I like the Amplified Translation personally, and it says, looking away from all that will distract unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You have a choice of what to look at. What are you going to set your mind on today? Good things that are going to lift you up and build you up, are things that are going to make you sad and depressed and discouraged and tear you down. I think that we need to celebrate, and this is just an example. I think all of us who love God, we want to grow. We want to be more Christ-like in our behavior. At least that's what we should want. And as we grow, we're always making some progress, but there's always still things to be done. There's always things right with us and things wrong with us. And I think that we need to learn more to celebrate our progress and not focus as much on everything that's wrong with us. The more you focus, whatever you focus on is what becomes the biggest thing in your life. And to be honest, you can focus on some fault and just blow it so far out of proportion that it's not even really the problem that you make it out to be. And some people may think, well, it's haughty or prideful to think about my progress. No, it's not. Not as long as you're thanking God for it, knowing that you wouldn't have had that progress if it wasn't for him. Matter of fact, I think to focus on it is a way of giving praise to God. Romans 12:21, and this is one of my favorite scriptures, and it's one of my favorite things to put my energy into. We overcome, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, he's given us a choice again. There's bad things that happen to you. How are you going to respond to it? Are you going to respond to it by acting bad? Or are you going to respond to the bad thing that's happened to you by doing something good for somebody else? I absolutely love it when the enemy throws his best punch at me, and I've learned now through the Word of God that one of the best ways for me to defeat the devil is, instead of behaving the way he wants me to behave, which is bad, is to think of something good that I can do for somebody else and go do it. I believe that walking in love is the highest form of spiritual warfare that we can possibly do. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, any room that's a totally dark room, if you go in and you bring a light in with you, the light is going to swallow up the darkness. And that's what happens with good and bad. There are bad things, but they're not stronger than good things, because everything that God has is greater than anything the enemy has to offer. So if we focus on the godly things and the good things and the positive things, they're going to drown out and swallow up the bad things in life. You know, there's a story in Luke 15 about somebody we call the prodigal son. But that story is also not just about the prodigal son, but it's also about the elder brother. And sometimes I think that we tell the part about the prodigal son, who was a young man, asked his father for his inheritance early because he wanted to get out on his own and live his own life and do his own thing, which is not uncommon for young people. They're anxious to get away from mom and dad and live their own life. And then a lot of them find out it's not nearly as much fun as they thought it was going to be, because now they've got to clean up their own messes. They've got to pay their own bills. They've got to be responsible for their own thing. But it's part of what children need to do in order to grow into adulthood. But in the culture that this young man lived in, to ask your father for your inheritance while he was still alive was equivalent to saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead." It was not a good thing. But the father gave the boy his inheritance, and he took it and went to a faraway country and wasted all the money on drinking and gambling and women, and ended up where he lost everything. He'd wasted the whole fortune, and he started working for a pig farmer, and he got in such bad shape that the Bible says he would have been glad to have eaten the food that the pigs were eating, but there was nothing for him. So in the midst of that, it says he came to himself. I love that. He came to his right mind, and he said, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home to my father, and I'm going to say, 'Father, I don't even deserve to be your son. If I could just be a hired servant in your house, that would be more than I deserve.'" And so he went home with that in mind, to go in very humbly and, you know, say, "God, Father, I don't deserve anything. I don't even deserve for you to forgive me. I don't expect to be treated well, but can I please come home?" And the Bible says that while he was still a long way off, the father saw him coming, and he ran to him with open arms to greet him. Well, old men did not run in that culture either. It was considered inappropriate and improper. But the father was so excited about the boy coming back that he said, "Let's have a big party, kill the fatted calf, bring out the best robe, bring out the best ring, put clean sandals on his feet, and we are going to celebrate." Now, here's the thing that I want you to see about this that is so amazing. Out of all the things he could have said to the boy, "Well, you've made a fine mess out of things. You've lost your entire fortune. You've wasted all this time. You've wasted all this money. You've done all these things that are sinful and wrong." He didn't even mention. Do you understand? He didn't even mention those things. All he wanted to do was celebrate the one good thing. Out of all the bad things, come on now, there's a lesson here today. Out of all the bad things, he found the one good thing to celebrate, and that was, "My son has come home." Can you find one good thing today to celebrate? Surely in the midst of all the bad things, you can find one good thing to celebrate. Well, the father said, "Let's have a party." And I'm pretty convinced after reading the Bible that God is a party guy. He loves to see us enjoy ourselves. He loves to see us laugh. He loves to see us have a good time. And he's really big into celebrations, and I think that we need to celebrate more. The elder son, however, would not join the party. He said, "I am not coming in. The father said, please come in. He said, I'm not coming in. You know why? Because all he was focusing on was everything the boy had done wrong and how unfair he felt his father was being to him. Because after all, he had stayed there and served the father and done everything right. And this other, he called him son of yours. He wouldn't even call him brother. He's wasted your fortune on loose women, and he's done this, and he's done that, and he's done something else, and you never gave me a party. And the father said, son, you've been with me the whole time. You could have had anything that you wanted. But he refused to come into the party because he was jealous and focusing on everything that was wrong. I wonder if some of you can't join God's party because you're so focused on everything that's wrong with yourself, everything that's wrong with the person you're married to, everything that's wrong with all your kids, everything that's wrong with your job, everything that's wrong with your house, your neighborhood, everything that's wrong with your friends. You know, being negative is a life destroyer. And I used to be really, really, really negative. I'd had a lot of bad things happen to me in my life. And I got to the point where I didn't even feel like it was worth it to expect good things to happen because I thought I would just be disappointed if I did. So I actually just lived my life where I just waited for the next bad thing to happen. I mean, I was so negative, I always say, if I thought two positive thoughts in a row, my brain would get in a cramp. I'm trying to just paint a picture of how bad it was. And now I've come full circle, and I really just can't stand negative stuff. I don't enjoy being around negative people. Now, I don't stick my head in the sand and pretend like there's no problems in my life or in your life or in the world. That's what my business is helping people deal with their problems in a biblical way. And what I'm telling you today is one of the best ways to deal with your problems is in the midst of those problems, find something good and something positive and focus on that. Think about that. Talk about that. Meditate on that. Make that the center of your life. You know, all throughout the Bible, God commanded, he didn't just suggest, but he commanded celebrations. The first miracle that Jesus did was making approximately 250 gallons of top quality wine for a party. I'm sorry, but I just have to think about that and still shake my head. Of all the things that he could have done, he made a party better than what it already was. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I came that you might have and enjoy your life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. God wants you to enjoy your life. But if you're waiting to have no problems to enjoy your life, then you're never going to get around to enjoying your life. Just listen to some of the celebrations in the Bible. God commanded the Israelites to celebrate victories with parties that lasted, some of them one day, some of them 7 days. A lot of them were 7 days. Passover was a feast and a time of celebration, of remembrance of how God had delivered his people from the angel of death when all the firstborn were killed as a judgment on Pharaoh. They celebrated. It was a time for them to remember. Remember. How about if you just had a party every year, once a year, to celebrate the day that you were born again, when your sins were washed away and you knew that God loved you? Wow, that would be cool. You know, the Sabbath was probably the first celebration, and it was celebrating the work that God had done the first 6 days. He created the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested, and he looked at everything that he had created and said, it is good. Do you even take the time to enjoy the things that God has given you? How hard have you worked for all the pretty little things in your house? Maybe things you sit on shelves or beautiful things that people have given you or a beautiful piece of furniture. And are you in such a fast-paced life that you don't even see what you have in the way of blessings anymore. And all you focus on is what's wrong with everything. The Feast of Unleavened Bread began immediately after Passover and lasted 7 days. Next came the Feast of First Fruits, then the Feast of Pentecost, then the Feast of Trumpets. I mean, you can pretty well see they didn't go very long without having a party over something. And every time they had a big victory, they had a party. When Esther was used by God to defeat wicked Haman and the Jewish people were saved from being killed, they had a big party that lasted a few days. When Nehemiah finished the wall that God told him to build that would protect the city, they stopped and they celebrated what they had done. Well, you know, today, when I do television, it's hard work. I'm tired by the time the day is over. And I'm going on now being here almost 4 hours, and I've worked hard, and I'm getting tired. And Dave and I were talking this morning about what we were going to do to eat today. Do we want to just get something from a burger place that's close by to go, a barbecue place, and just eat at home, which we do a lot, or did we want to go out for lunch? And at first I thought, oh, we'll just pick something up and bring it home. And then I thought later, nope, you know what? We're going to go out and eat, and we're going to celebrate the work that I did today. Now, I don't mean we're going to put balloons on the table and say, I worked today, let's celebrate. But in my heart, it will be a celebration, something for me that I'm going to enjoy to celebrate the progress that I made today. And you know what? If you'll do a little more of that celebrating, whatever it is that you enjoy, it might just be sitting down and having a cup of coffee. It might be taking a bubble bath. It might be going out and playing a game of golf. Whatever it is, if you don't mix some of those things into your life, you're going to get bitter and sour, and all you're ever going to see are the negative things in life. Celebrating helps keep all the other things in life balanced out. Is anybody feeling better already? I hope so. Learn to celebrate your victories, small and large. You know, when I became a serious Christian, now I've been a Christian for a long time, went to church, loved God, I know I was born again. But when I became a real serious, committed Christian, where I wanted to go deeper with God and learn more about God and become more Christ-like in my behavior, for some reason, Dave and I stopped doing everything that was fun. We got out of the couples card club. If the music wasn't Christian music, we didn't listen to it. No more time for anything frivolous in life. We were busy being a serious Christian. You know what I became? I became the elder brother in the story that's we find in Luke 15. Don't be the elder brother. Don't be the guy who never has time for the party, who never has time to enjoy, who's always looking at what's wrong with everybody. I like the fact when Jesus called the 12 disciples, when he talked to them, he didn't call all 12 of them at once, but he would meet different ones of them, and quite often he said, come and join my party. Well, I know they weren't just traipsing around the country having a party all the time, but I think it's still an interesting way to put it to them. He meant come and join our group. But you know what? I have a feeling, just a feeling I have, but I have a feeling that Jesus and his disciples, I think while they were traveling around, I think they had a lot of fun. I believe that Jesus had a sense of humor. I think they laughed together. I think they told funny stories together. Maybe they laughed at their own mistakes like we need to do sometimes. Some of you, now look at me, because God is talking to somebody out there specifically today. Some of you are just absolutely too serious. My administrative assistant says when her husband became a very serious Christian, that the same thing happened. They stopped doing anything that was fun. And she said one night, I said to him, are you ever going to make me laugh again? And that kind of woke him up, because prior to that, he'd been a pretty humorous guy that was always making her laugh. But we can get so serious and somber about everything that no wonder Christianity becomes not fun for a lot of different people. And what about birthdays? You know, it's very common to hear people say, you say, what are you going to do for your birthday? Oh, nothing. I'm just another year older. That doesn't matter. But you know what? If we're going to celebrate a one-year-old's birthday, we just did celebrate our one-year-old grandson's birthday. I mean, we had cake and we had presents and we had balloons and he got to rub cake all over his face and, you know, we did everything imaginable. He got to tear open all of these gifts that he probably didn't even care about or know what they were. His brothers played with them more than he did. And he's just a year old. Well, what should you do then by the time you're 50? I mean, I think after 50, we should all celebrate our birthdays for at least a week. And by celebrate, I don't mean that you have a house full of people and you have nothing but party, 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 party. I just mean that you take the time to do some things that you really enjoy, because every year that you live is a miracle. In a year, your heart beats approximately 38 million times. It pumps blood 525,600 times through your 24 to 48,000 miles of blood vessels in your body, depending on your body size. Do you know what it takes every single day just to keep your body going? We are truly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. Celebrate yourself, because God has taken a lot of trouble to put you together in a very, very special way. Well, one of my daughters, she likes dessert, maybe a little bit more than she should, but one of the things that she likes to do to celebrate after a hard day's work or a project that she's worked on for a long time is she wants a dessert. I love to celebrate after I do a conference. I love to come home and go to my favorite Italian restaurant and eat pasta. Well, I love pasta. I can't eat it very often or I'd be wearing it, but when I really want to celebrate, that's what I want to get. Sit down with somebody I love that I can have a good conversation with and eat a bowl of pasta. Probably not the whole thing, but enough to satisfy me. Dave enjoys a game of golf. Ginger, who you see on TV with me sometimes, she likes to hike. Well, hiking wouldn't be a celebration for me. That would be torment. But she loves it. My administrative assistant loves to go to Disney World. And she's been there probably 75 times. I'll tell you what, me and the mouse would have had a lot of problems if I would have had to go into Disney World 75 times. Everybody likes something different, and you should do the things that you enjoy to celebrate the victories in your life. You can celebrate things like, I got my house cleaned, spring cleaning's done, fall cleaning's done. I paid off my car. I lost 20 pounds. I've been exercising for 1 year. We all have things in our life that we should celebrate that we don't bother celebrating. You know what? You're worth a little bit of extravagance every now and then. Everything that you get doesn't have to be something that you desperately need. Little things are important things. The widow gave a tiny, tiny offering. It's called the widow's mite. And she's still being talked about today. And there were people who threw in much more money than she did into the treasury. But God appreciated her sacrifice. Little things. Do what you can do, and God will do what you cannot do. And remember to celebrate and to focus on the positive things on your life. Focus on the positive things about the people in your home. What's right with the man you're married to? What's right with the woman you're married to? What's right with each one of your children? What's right about your job? If nothing else, you've got a job. And you know, if your husband bothers you that much, there's probably somebody, lonely woman, that would love to just have somebody to just sit and eat with. There's so many things in our life that we need to appreciate and celebrate and be joyous about. but we have to learn to focus on those things. You know, we always like to offer you as much of the Word as we can because we know it's the Word that's going to change your life. And so today we're offering you the Power Thoughts book and Developing Power Thoughts, 4 teachings on CD. Thinking on the right things that can add power to your life instead of thinking on things that are going to drain and suck all the energy out of you and leave you weary and worn out and sour and sad. Let me say again, you overcome evil with good. Put your mind on something in your life that's positive, and you're going to have a much better life than if you focus on a lot of negative things all the time. I love you. I really mean that, and I appreciate you being with me today. We pray for you all the time, and I appreciate your prayers for me. God bless you.
Take control of your mind and focus on the positives of the present, not the pain of the past. Joyce will teach you how in her book, Power Thoughts, along with 4 teachings on developing power thoughts. Get yours today by using the information on your screen. Visit online at joycemeyer.org or call 1-800-727-9673.
This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus and His gift of love, you can share joy in tangible ways with precious children and families here in the U.S. and around the world with the Hand of Hope Christmas Catalog. Choose from 6 unique areas to spread God's love. Feed hungry families with nutritious and life-saving meals. Transform an entire village by installing freshwater wells. Ease physical suffering by providing medical and dental care. Rescue women and children from human trafficking. Provide shelter and education through Project Girl. Help those impacted by natural disasters or simply make a donation to those who need it the most. Through your financial gift, you can fill someone's heart with joy and give much needed hope. The Hand of Hope Christmas Catalog. Go to joycemeyer.org/givehope today.
The fact is one thing, but the truth is greater than the fact.
Yeah, it's good.
That really
hits
me too. That's so good.
So to all the mamas out there, however old your kids are, you got this. We're in this together, and we just need to do what God has called us to do, and God will take care of the rest.
Amen.
We don't have to be perfect.
No.
Because God is.
God is.
Yeah.
Join us and see what everyone's talking about at joycemeyer.org/talkitout.
How did you begin to see what God really had called you to do in all of this?
Well, first I fought with it for a little while, and then I realized that, and God really impressed upon my heart that if you want my joy, my peace, and my grace, then you have to do what I've called you to do. I told the guys in the engineering field that I would not always be here working in the engineering field. Eventually, I was going to be in ministry. And I didn't know exactly what aspect of ministry I was going to be in, but I told them that. And actually, when I left the engineering company, the guy said, "You know how long you've been saying it?" And I said, "No." He said, 7 years." I said, "Whoa, that's good." I said, "That's God's perfect number."
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.